chapter 11, if you would, and let's read these verses. Thank you so much, orchestra, for what you bring to each chapel. And thank you for that great song, a beautiful song. Who is the Lord to you? I'm looking forward to hearing that this summer. I think I'll have the opportunity to be with that tour group for several services and look forward to it. Thank you for being here. Sure love you young people. And once again, thank you for your heart for the Lord. Luke 11, verse number 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. We'll continue just a moment, but you want to be the one. You want to be in the minority. Jesus was praying, one of his disciples, not all of his disciples, just one. How many did he have? 12, we know, that became apostles. And one of them said, Lord, can you let me get in on that? I need to learn about that. The way I heard John teach his disciples, could you teach us how to do that? And most people are not interested in prayer. I would say probably the statistics have not changed. About 1 in 12 Christians have any interest in prayer. This morning we had a prayer meeting, and I know everybody cannot come, and some folks have a difficult time just getting here for 8 o'clock for classes, or they come from off campus. But I would say probably if you were to average out who all comes to a prayer meeting, it's about 1 12th of our student enrollment, maybe not even that high. If I were to get everybody and say, listen, we're going to have a church-wide prayer meeting, I'd like everybody to come, I don't know that we would get 10% of the church to come. Just not that popular. Prayer is a challenging discipline, and it's a challenge for me. It's a challenge for you. But I want to encourage you, listen, Lord, if you'll let me, I'd like to be one who would be devoted to prayer. I'd like to be one who has interest in praying. I'd like to have one that would pray corporately and individually. You know, praying in secret is the secret of prayer. But may I also say corporate prayer is important too. Coming together, when they came together and prayed, then the place they were at, she was shaken. And they went out with great boldness. I think there's importance. I love to see after chapel, oftentimes bus routes assembling and taking a few moments to pray for your route, for your streets, for your members, for your prospects. That's great. I think sometimes you'll think, well, I'm wasting my time. How many times I've prayed and the devil told me, you're this unimportant. You ought to go work. Because it's easier for me to work for 8 hours than it is to pray for one of those hours. It's easier for me to preach 30 minutes than it is to pray for 5 of those minutes. And everything within me says, you're wasting your time. And I get on my knees to pray. I got to do something. My car's dirty. Something needs to get done. I've got to make sure I go do that. Or I haven't got back to that person. All kinds of things come to mind that don't come to my mind if I'm watching a basketball game. But just start praying. All of a sudden, every distraction in your mind will come. You got to work through that. It's important. But one of his disciples, let's continue on if we can, please. And he says in verse number 2, and he said unto them, when you pray, say, he's responding to the request to teach us to pray. He said, well, when you pray, say this, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven, so in earth. Verse number 3, read it with me, would you please? Give us day by day our daily bread. Verse number 4, read it with me too. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And he said unto him, which of you have a friend that shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Would you read verse 7 with me, please? And he that then shall answer and say, then verse 8 says, I say unto you, though he will not rise, give him, because he is a friend, but because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Our Father, would you please help me as I just share a few moments with these, my brothers and sisters. I love so very much, and I need your help. We need your help on both sides of this pulpit. I need help to convey what you have in the Word, and they need help to absorb and to apply. I pray you please make this time a profitable time. Thank you for bringing Dr. Baskin yesterday and today. Please, I pray you continue to work in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to remind you of the 6 principles of 1 Timothy. And I know that sometimes Pastor repeats these things, but they are really, 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 I'm repeating them on purpose. I already know them myself. And so I'm actually trying to convey them to you. And some of you might know them, and I hope you do. But I want you to think about them. Of course, Apostle Paul wrote the book of 1 Timothy, and he says right off the bat in chapter 3, he said, if I tarry long, if I don't get to you soon, I'm open to come to you shortly, but if I don't get to you soon, I want you to know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. So we have an older man who is within 2 years of his death, probably, and maybe two or three. He's going to die shortly. And he's writing to a younger man who he's told him to stay at Ephesus and to be a watchdog for truth and sound doctrine. And so he says, I don't know when I'm going to get out of, if I ever get out of this house arrest, and I think I'm going to get out, I'll come to see you. But if I don't get there soon, I want to put it in print how you're supposed to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. And he gave him 6 chapters that are divided in our Bible. The chapter divisions are not inspired, but they're very important. And I think that you see each of them has a theme. Chapter 1 is keep your doctrine. Say it with me, would you please? Keep your doctrine. Sound is hygiene. It means keep it clean. Don't let your doctrine get polluted with some clown on a blog. Don't let your doctrine get polluted with some ideology or new idea. Don't get bored with the basics. Keep your doctrine sound. Find out what the Bible says and stay with the Bible. Doctrine determines, once again, doctrine determines whatever you believe. If you keep believing long enough, it'll take you to a destination of desire. If you get off of sound doctrine, the longer you go in your life, the more off you will get. And I'm sure that I've only been in this thing for a few years compared to Brother Baskin, but I'm sure he could sit here today and tell you of people that sailed straight for a while but then got a little squirrely. They swerved. And as a result, shipwreck is a result. And I don't want that to happen for me. I certainly don't want that to happen for you. And the Bible tells us to be sober, be vigilant. I mean, stay aware. In Ephesians, he said, let's walk circumspectly. Be familiar with all of the possible ways in which Satan may be attacking you. Walk circumspectly all around you, the circumference of you, and see if he can't get you here, what can he do? If he can't get me, maybe he'll get my wife. If he can't get my wife, he'll try to get my kids. If he can't get me with the standards of music, maybe he'll get me standards of bad doctrine. He'll continue to whack away at you. He's a very patient foe. And so we've got to keep our doctrine sound. Chapter 2 is we must make a priority? We must make prayer a priority. That's what we're going to talk about today. It's not the easiest of the 6 things to watch, but it's the most important. Matter of fact, he said, I would that first of all, make it a priority. And it's challenging. It's a challenge to make prayer a priority in church. Last night we prayed together for about 5 or 6 minutes. But oftentimes, even in that time prayer meeting, people will get up and leave after 2 or 3 minutes, or they'll get bored after 2 or 3 minutes of praying to the Lord. And they'll just sit and wait for us, the rest of us, to finish praying like we've finished done. It's interesting about how that prayer is hard to do in a church service. And Jesus said, my house should be called a house of prayer. It's difficult to do that in a prayer in the service. It's difficult to do it in my own life. But he said, I want you to make prayer a priority because it is our private time alone that gives us power to obey. Look at number 3, and that is the qualifications of pastors and those who are going to help their pastors. And everyone who's a pastor today and everyone who is helping their pastor today had to be won to Christ and discipled by someone before they came to that thing. All of us are products of someone who shared the gospel with us and helped us grow. None of us pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. All of us, somebody had to help us. And to do that, you must learn to spiritually reproduce yourself. Spiritual reproduction, winning, discipling, and training others. Don't stop doing that. Don't stop doing that when you graduate. Some of you seniors, when you finish, your first goal after graduation ought to be, Lord, give me someone to win. Give me someone to disciple. You go to a new post for the Lord. If you become a school teacher for some place, or you're going to be, once you make sure you get something, if you don't want to use the foundations of our faith, discipleship, find another one. But decide, you know what, I'm going to have a passion to be a soul winner in the new place God's made me. Those of you, some of you young men, you could step from ministry here right into pastoring 50 or 60 people. And those 50 and 60 people wouldn't stay 50 and 60 if you could learn 2 things, how to win people to Christ and how to disciple the people you win. You learn to win people to Christ. There's very few church problems that could not be solved with several hours every week of somebody winning people to Christ and discipling the people they win. From that, growth comes. And pastors and people who help their pastors begin to develop. Chapter 4 is to be a godly example. Yeah, let no man despise your youth, but be thou an example. Your sermons whisper, but your life, yes, your life is loud. And listen, if people don't trust you, they will not trust what you tell them. And you are on display 24/7. If you're a child of God, it's a good place to be. Don't push that off. I just hate being in a glass house. Embrace it. Let your light so shine before. Yeah, the one of the reasons God wants you to be a good testimony is so that people will see how you live and want to embrace the doctrine of the gospel. And they can see your good works and then glorify God and have a good opinion of God. People have an opinion of God based upon my life and your life, how we work, how we treat each other, what we say, what we post on our social media. Everything is a reflection of how we feel about God. And we want others to feel good about God. When you see the word glory, glorify God, that means to give others a good opinion of God. So chapter 1, keep your doctrine. 2, make prayer a, yeah, spiritually, reproduce. And then be a godly example. Chapter 5 is really relationships and, once again, relationships and, you have responsibilities. And learning to negotiate with your friends, with your servants, with your older folks, younger folks, peers, your pastors, widows, ladies, all those things. He said, I want you to make sure that you treat people right. It's challenging to me when I find people who have been mistreated by God's people, and especially by God's leaders. Once you decide yourself, you know, love is not feeling right about someone, it's making a decision to treat someone right. I don't have to feel right about you to treat you right. I got a call yesterday from someone, and they said, Pastor, someone the other day wrote a bad letter about you, and yet you have chosen to try to love them. It's obvious. You didn't take that attack personally. Now, I did. It hurt me terribly. But he said, I've watched you. And by the way, that's one of the reasons you want to treat people right, because someone's always watching you. He said, how do you do that? Because if that was said about me, I would have got really angry and at least fired back a letter of response. Or instead, you've entreated this person, loved this person. And by the way, everything worked out fine. Now they're my friends and I'm their friend. Everything's good. Yes, there was an altercation. Yes, there was a problem. Yes, there was an offense. But learning to treat people right. And be ye kind one to another. Tender hearted. Keep your heart tender. Forgiving one another. No one has ever treated me or you as bad as you and I have treated Jesus, right? And if he can forgive us, we can forgive anyone who has hurt us. The last one, chapter 6, is financial management. And that revolves around 4 basic concepts: being a diligent person, working hard. Number 2, associating carefully. Be careful who you spend time with. Living frugally and contentedly. You got to be careful. He said, put a knife to your throat if you're a man, especially if you're going to start and sit and you're interacting with leadership. Put a knife to your throat if you're a person given to appetite. You got to have the best of the best. He said, that's going to cripple you in working with people. It doesn't mean you can't be blessed and have something that's nice. It does mean you need to be careful with your appetites. And it's like, well, no, I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to have that. Boy, you got to be careful. Because there's someone that's looking ahead of that. And even the kings, it's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He looks and sees, can I be content? Contentment is understanding God has given me everything I need for my present happiness. If I'm not happy, it's not God's fault. It's my fault. And so many people spend a lifetime focused on a few things that are done to them at the expense of all the things that have been done for them. And then lastly, give generously. Be a generous person. I believe those are principles that will help. Today I want to talk to you just for a few moments about prayer. Luke chapter 11, we see that Jesus was praying. And he must be praying out loud, and someone was listening to him pray. And while they were listening to him pray, one of them said, when he finished praying, he said, could you teach us to pray the way I heard John taught about that? And then he gives them the Lord's Prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. It's really the model prayer. The Lord's Prayer might be better for John 17. That's when he prayed in the garden. But he gave us it's a pattern. a pattern of prayer. First, we see the petition, and then we see a pattern. And the pattern is basically our Father, focus on the person. Number two, praise, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So we bring glory to the Lord. We praise him. You always ought to enter his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with all-powerful prayer is packed with praise. You want to praise the Lord. He said, number one, remember who you're talking to. You're talking to the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit. Jude says praying in the Holy Ghost. That's the only kind of praying there is. The Holy Spirit has to be there. He's helping you in prayer. You want to not ignore him. And he can prompt you to who to pray for. He can prompt you about sin you need to confess. He can prompt you about praise you need to give. He's the Spirit of God. Prayer is not just a one-way street. It's a two-way street. While you and I are talking to God, the Spirit of God's talking to us. He's trying to tell us who to pray for, how to pray, because he knows the mind of God. He knows the Spirit. The Spirit knows the mind of the Father. So we talk about the person, we talk about praise, and then we see the program. The program of prayer is not trying to get my will done in heaven, it's trying to get heaven's will done in my life. Notice what he says next. He says, number one, our Father. Number two, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Number three, thy kingdom come. Thy, he said, now we're talking about two things, his kingdom and his will, what he wants and how he operates. And this world operates very different than what God plans for us to operate. And you and I, oftentimes, we are thinking on a different page. He says in the Old Testament, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts, saith the Lord. He says, I'm thinking differently than you. When Jesus chose his disciples, when he chose the ones he would spend time with them and send them forth to preach later on, right after that, he gives them the Sermon on the Mount. And he begins to tell them, this is a different way of living. Here's my kingdom, in the kingdom of heaven. He calls that oftentimes. I want you to think differently about that. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who stumbles across a field and he looks and he kicks something, and he starts digging, and he finds out it's a case full of gold and silver. It's unbelievable. There's more money in that case than he'll ever earn in 100 lifetimes. He said the kingdom of heaven is a guy who closes it up, he hides it, and he goes back and sells everything, every lawnmower, every weed eater. He sells his rings. He sells his classroom. He sells everything so he could buy that field. It doesn't even make sense except for he knows what's in the field. And when a child of God like you and I understand the eternal values that await for me, which are far more than I could ever obtain in this lifetime, that's why I think it was the great missionary Jim Elliot said, a man is no fool to give at what you cannot keep, to give that, to gain that which you cannot lose. He's saying, you know, I just now saw a goal. I saw a whole treasure chest full of things that I will never be able to. He goes, it's nothing. What little bit I have to sell, I can do that. And he did it with joy so he could have the eternal. And that's something all of us have to keep in our mind. You're not here to get happy the rest of your life. You're here to serve the Lord. That's why God put you on the planet. And you got to keep an eternal view. Set your affections on things. He said, Jesus, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He wants you to have a heavenly mindset all through the scriptures. It's like if a man slap you on one side, will turn the other cheek. It's talking about don't retaliate. That's don't waste your time retaliating. He said, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. He said, don't do that. If you try to retaliate against someone who's coming against you, you're off your rug. That's not your job. He said, if a man goes, you tell you go one mile, well, go with him two. If he says, oh, you got to do one, well, just go with him two. The second one's for me. The first one's for him. The second one's for me. If a man asks you for something and you can help him, well, help him. Don't refuse him. The kingdom of heaven was very different. He says, now, when you pray, pray to the person, the Heavenly Father. Pray with praise. Hallowed be his name. Pray with a program. Not getting my will done in heaven, but getting heaven's will done in my life. Next, he said, I want you to pray with petition. Now he says, give me this day our daily bread. Now he doesn't mind you asking. Occasionally I found someone who said, well, I don't pray for any prayers for me anymore. Well, I don't know about, I never got that holy. I got needs coming out my ears. And I need help. And petitioning God is very important. He asks us, give me. So when you pray, ask God for what you need. You know, why is prayer so difficult? Someone raise your hand. Tell me why you think prayer is so difficult. Anyone thinking about that? Yes, sir. Pride. Yeah. Really, there's two things that will make you a prayer. Number one, when you realize how helpless we are. Okay? When we're humble. Number two, when we exercise faith to take our helplessness to God. It is helplessness and faith that makes someone pray. Some of us, we haven't prayed today. We haven't prayed. You know it and I know it. We haven't really gone to the Lord. We didn't go to prayer meeting this morning. We didn't pray. We got ready. We just showed up here to our classes. We went to 8, 9, and 10. Now we're in chapel. And really, even though we've had prayer publicly and Riley prayed, we just listened. We didn't pray. Do you know what would make you pray? If you're in an emergency room this afternoon, you start praying. I promise you. You're like, oh, God, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. If you were in a car accident and the guy over here stopped breathing and the paramedics are pulling him out and are pulling your girlfriend out and they're trying to get her to live again, you know what you'll do? You can't do anything about that. So what will you do? You'll realize how helpless you are. Lord, please save my friend. Please help him start breathing again. Please, Lord. You'd start praying. Why? Because you're helpless to do anything about it. And your helplessness would cause you to have faith in God to do something you can't do. Prayer, that's one of the reasons why we don't pray is because of pride. We think we got this. We got this. I'm good. Well, don't ever say that too often. I'm good. I got this. You probably don't got it. You might got milk. But you don't got this. You know who you need? You need God. I need God. Yeah. We do. We desperately need it. And, you know, telling God I need it is good. You know, God has given prayer for so many things first of all, just my basic needs. You know, how you get wisdom? If any man lack wisdom, let him. Well, that's prayer. You know how you get power? You know how you get grace and mercy to help in time of need? Come boldly to the throne of grace. You know how God begins to show himself strong? Call unto me and I will answer thee and I'll show you. You know how you get healing when you're sick? He said, if any man be sick among you, let him call for the elders and let them anoint with oil and pray in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And when you're sick, you know what you ought to do? Before you call a doctor, call the Lord. Maybe even call your pastor. Say, can I get someone to pray over me? It's amazing what griefs we often for. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You know how you get peace? Some of us, we don't have peace. You know it. God knows it. Your roommate knows it. Your mom and dad know it. Your girlfriend knows it. Your boyfriend knows it. You don't have peace. And a shortcut to peace, there's two things. Number one, commitment gives peace. Number two, prayer gives peace. Many folks don't have peace because they're not committed. Some of you, I don't know, I don't know what to do with my life, I don't know what to do. No, you know how? Because you never committed to the Lord. I'm not sure if I'm going to come back next year. I know I'm 2 years into this, but I don't know if I'm going to do it. You know why? You don't know what you're doing. You don't have commitment. You haven't committed. You know what helps a person? You know, it's not love that keeps a marriage together. It's a marriage that keeps love together. Why God wants you to be married. He said, I hate the putting away. I hate divorce. Your commitment makes you stay married. It's not your love. You're not going to always feel fuzzy-wuzzy. You have that little boy that said, what is love? He goes, well, now, love is a feeling you feel when you feel like you're going to feel something you never felt before. Love is not a feeling. Love is a decision that you make, and then your decision helps you keep your love together. So many things that prayer gives us. Prayer gives peace. He said, be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer. Let your care be made prayer. And then with supplication and thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Ask the Lord. And then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keeps your hearts and mind. You got to have peace to make progress. Some of you are chasing your tail. You're riding a treadmill. You're expending energy, but you're getting no place. You're an exercise bike. You're working and going no place because you don't have any peace. Peace is needed for progress. Rest, you need rest to progress. And that doesn't come because you want it. It comes through prayer. Prayer has so many things that it gives us in revival. If my people, which are called by, will humble themselves and, boy, I want revival. And most Christians need revival most of the time. He says, you're not going to have it unless you pray. These are things that God wants us to have, and I want to have them too. You have to pray to have forgiveness. You live in a very dirty world, and you picked up some of that dirt, and so have I. We picked up some of that stinking thinking. We've seen things we shouldn't see. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? You're just going to keep piling it up on you? You got perverted thoughts. You got things that you're going to in moments of boredom. Are you just going to keep piling it on? You know what you need? You need prayer. You need pardon. Some of you say, well, I don't even know how to beat my habit. It's just eating my lunch. But Jesus said, watch and that you enter not into what? Why? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is. Boy, you better pray so you don't get the temptation. And know what to do. And the moment you begin to go through something that is a temptation, take it, drop to your knees if you have to in the middle of a grocery store. Pull your car over and say, God, have mercy on me for that wicked thought. That's terrible. God, I've done something wrong, and don't just pile it on and keep piling it on. No, you need prayer for pardon. He says, give us this day our daily bread. And then he talks about pardon. Forgive us our debts as we forget those who are indebted to us. And every once in a while, you'll get there's a few guys out now that are graduates of our college and other colleges that say, we just seeing grace now. I am just as though I've never sinned. I don't have to go back and ask God for forgiveness. I've already done that when I got saved. You just live in grace. They don't understand grace. It's the grace of God that gives us salvation, also sets up in our classroom and our heart to live godly and holy and righteous. And this is Jesus talking. He wasn't giving that to people who are not saved. He's giving it to Christians. Yes, when you mess up, you need to fess up. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. What do you have to do before you get forgiveness as a child of God? Confess. Say the same thing. Prayer is good for pardon. And then prayer is good for protection. At the conclusion of it, he says, Lord, deliver me from temptation. Keep me from temptation. What? When's the last time you prayed that? So I have some tendencies. Once you say, God, I do not want to fall. I do not even want to get tempted in this area. Please help me. Deliver me from temptation. The Jabez prayer. In the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 4, he said, would you not bless me indeed? Would you enlarge my opportunities, my coast. Give me opportunities to do something with you. And then, Lord, if you do that, hold my hand. Keep your hand on me. And then keep me from evil, that it not grieve me. Well, we see here that helplessness and faith make me pray. But what makes me good at the art of praying? Two things. I hope you'll think about this. Practice and perseverance. You know what you do ought to do about your prayer life is just pray about it. Keep praying. Get into a habit of prayer. Take time. Blot out 30 minutes and just spend it with God. Leave your phone in the room. Leave your phone in the car and take a walk where it's just nothing but you and Jesus. You know when you learn to pray? When you pray. Practice and then don't stop. The rest of this passage is about a man who had an unexpected visitor, needed 3 loaves of bread, and he didn't have anything. And it was the power of nothing that caused him to keep on asking and asking. His neighbor said, hey, my wife, my kids are sleeping, man. Come on, man, tomorrow morning, how about that? I'm done with you. Close the door. He goes, you don't get it, man. I got nothing. I got to have help tonight. And God's telling us, practice and persevere. Don't quit. Keep praying. You say, well, I've been asking God for a spouse and I don't have a date yet. Just keep practicing and persevere. I don't know where my husband, I thought I was going to have one by now. I thought I was going to have a wife by now. Keep practicing and persevering in your prayer life. Don't get overwhelmed. Realize how helpless you are. You couldn't match yourself with the right person if your life depended on it. You don't even know what you need. I like him. He looks nice. I like her. You don't even know. Everything that glitters is not gold. You don't know, but you know who can line up things? By the way, the Bible says, whoso findeth a good wife, findeth a no good thing will he withhold from them to walk upright. Find a good thing and obtain the favor of a prudent wife is from the, boy, you want God to put all that stuff together. Some of that can be done in prayer closets and walks with God when I understand how helpless I am to make the right decision in that area, how much I need to come to God with that problem. And then keep practicing and keep persevering. And we'll find that prayer could be a priority in my life and yours. Would you pray for my prayer life? Would you do that? Pray that God would get a hold of Pastor and help him. I'm going to pray for you. Let's all pray for each other. Can we? Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Wherever you are in the auditorium this morning, I pray that you'll just ask God to help you to be the prayer warrior. Help you to learn to pray. Help you learn to practice the prayer and persevere and not quit. Let's not get weary in well-doing. Are you carrying a burden? Take your care and make it prayer. Do you need wisdom? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Do you need peace? Instead of worry and fear and doubt? I want you to say, God, please teach me to pray. Would you pray that prayer with me? Lord, teach me to pray. Wherever you are in the auditorium, would you pray for somebody in this room that you know is a friend? Would you just pray for them? Pray that God would bless them, would be good to them. If you got aught against someone in this room, maybe it's a teacher, maybe it's a staff member that gave you points that you don't think you deserve, or maybe it's me, maybe it's somebody that have back home. One of the best things you can do to forgive someone is to pray, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. They might know what happened, but they don't know how it happened to you. Pray for them. You should pray for an unsaved person. One of the things that God wants us to pray, that all men would come to the knowledge of the truth. You know someone who's unsaved? Why don't you pray right now that God would save them? Our Father, thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for these wonderful young people that listen so attentively today. Would you work in hearts? And I pray, God, that we would do like that illustration of the bamboo. Lord, may we let you do whatever you want, your will be done. Let you drill out our hearts and show us. If you have to break us before you bless us, that's okay. If you get glorified in the end, that's what we want. Please work. Thank you, Lord, for this college. Thank you for these young servants. Thank you for the faculty and staff. Please keep helping us in Jesus' name.